Welcome, Midnight Margaritaville. Greetings to all. I'm your host, Sky, and I have a very, very special guest I want to introduce today. Her name is Lois Herman. She's a very dear friend of mine, and she is just this beacon of light in the ethers. But you know what? She's this badass spiritual warrior that just is wreaking havoc on the ethers in the spiritual realm. And we're going to talk about all the things she does. But before we do that, she is also, we're going to set some sacred space. And this is part of what she does. So welcome, Lois.
Thank you, Sky. And what I find delightful is this is take two, because we got started with the round one and my internet went down. My house glitched. Everything shut down. This is what happens. So let's set sacred space. We forgot to do it last time. So let's do it this time. And I was taught over, almost 40 years ago now about setting sacred space from a priest initially. And then it has evolved over the years and continues to evolve. So let's do this. Just take a moment and ground, center, connect to Mother Gaia, wherever you love to connect with her, be it at the beach, sitting under a majestic tree, in a meadow, looking up at the sky, wherever you want to connect with Mother Gaia. And then imagine her sending up. Let's start with four columns of beautiful glistening light. You can make them north, south, east, and west. And then I like to put four more so that we're sitting in eight columns of light, inviting Mother Gaia to place a foundation of light underneath. And sometimes she'll place some crop circle symbols for protection, healing, and empowerment. And we can go ahead and put some walls of light connecting all of those columns, glistening crystalline walls of light. But before we close in our space, let's imagine divine source, Father God, sends down a magical beam of light right in the middle of our space. It just fills the space with the most glorious divine light. Breathe it in and absorb it into every cell of your being. And expand it to fill the space you're in. Now we can put a magical dome of light overhead and a shiny reflective coating on all of the walls that amplifies the positive and deflects anything else, sending it away with positive intention for transformation. We invite Archangel Michael, the divine protectors of the light, to surround our space with beautiful blue light of protection. Typically, Archangel Raphael, the divine healer of the light, to fill our space with a green light of healing. The Archangel of Light to blast everything with the golden light of truth. And our beloved Jesus to fill us all with pink bubbles of love light. And next, let's place a mesh screen around us that's in the pattern of the flower of life. And some like to see it connected with Metatron's sacred cube, gently spinning overhead. And this mesh screen acts as a Faraday cage, if you will, to deflect and or transform frequencies, vibrational frequencies, in order to make them for our highest good, or to deflect those that might wish to remote view our energy. We've been instructed to protect our energy, inviting only those of the highest divine light in. So this mesh screen with Metatron's cube blocks, deflects, transforms, makes our space somewhat of a soft Cephagio medbed frequency generator. And now we also like to invite our dragons to circle overhead to keep us protected from any nefarious onlookers. Setting the intention for this lovely meeting. for the highest and best of all we touch. Calling the divine protectors of the light, divine communicators of the light, divine healers of the light, to be here to work with, through, and support us on our journey. Thank you, Sky.
Thank you, Lois. That was beautiful.
How's that feel? Better now?
Way better. Ooh, wow. I gotta tell my throat chakra just exploded. And my third eye is like vibrating like crazy. But you know, throat chakra is the divine communication. It's not just our own
right.
communication, but it's divine communication. It's our connection to divine source. So that was interesting. I can still feel it now. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, because whenever, it's interesting that you bring that up. Whenever I am on a podcast or speaking to a group, I usually take a minute before and ask the divine guides to speak through me so that the voice that comes through is, yes, it comes through this physical vessel, but I am a conduit. I am sharing what they wish to share with humanity. I've learned to do that for a long time. Even in my client sessions, I've long asked for guidance to give me the words to say for the person's highest good. And things come out of my mouth and I'll go, where did that come from?
It's, yeah, I'm with you on that. It's like it's coming out and you're just going, well, that's not me.
You just learn to go with it and you learn to discern. This is really, really a major critical message that I have for a lot of people. People call on anybody help me, and anybody will help them. And this is why we are dealing with a lot of blessed light workers who have some nefarious beings that are working through and with them. You've got to be discerning in who you call to assist you, because anybody will come to help and anybody can be a being from the shadow that's very powerful and can give you some really good power, but they're not of the light. You really want to discern the difference.
I think that is so important. Thank you for bringing that up, Lois. I think that's the first thing we should probably talk about, because anytime anyone ever takes any mind-altering substances, it lowers your frequency, your vibration goes down, and it brings you into that space of despair. And that's when people start asking for help. And when they're asking for help in that place and they think they're communicating with divine source or their higher self or whatever you want to call it, it's not. It may be just a spirit from the fourth dimension coming through. Maybe it's, you know, maybe a, like you said, reptilian, you know, whatever. It's always a negative energy or a lower vibration and frequency, and that's designed to bring you down and keep you anchored into the 3D world. And we can't ascend, we can't go into the 5D if we're still trapped in that mentality. And I'm sorry, that goes for, you know, and any of the cannabis too, if you're using it as a mind altering substance, to get you to put the Band-Aid on or whatever it is, you know, it's okay for your physical aches and pains and stuff. But if you overuse
right.
it, you know, and alcohol,
anything
is the worst.
Overdone, you're right. Anything done to excess is not healthy. I actually had, people have said, one of the things that we've been doing is clearing implants from beings that have had devices put in them over the many years. And when we find an implant in a person, we clear it across humanity, as many as we can, so that we're helping to lift the light workers, because we need the star seeds to do what they're called to do. And someone asked, can some of these implants be used for good? So I asked Archangel Michael that question at one point, because we work with this amazing small gray named Meter that we rescued. And I was talking to Meter about, hey, can you develop a device that can help us to ascend? And Archangel Michael stepped right in and said, absolutely not. He said, your organic human body is the most amazing generator, transmitter. It has more properties than you ever could imagine. And because we have been dumbed down, I hate to use that word, but because our vibrational frequency has been lowered over the years based on devices, based on the toxins in our environment, in our mind, in our emotion, all of those toxins lower our vibrational frequency. So if we can organically get, and we have to work on all levels, we can't just do the spiritual, we have to work on the mental, the emotional, and the physical. So as we ascend, we are awakening our full component of DNA, which unlocks incredible power.
Yeah, I just got full chills on that one. Yeah, right on, right on. Thank you. So I want to back up a little bit because we didn't really talk about what it is that you actually do. you're also an author, Chronicles of Hope. Do you want to talk about that first and then move in? Share your story. How did you get to be where you are today?
Well, my story is I'm actually a very analytical person. I'm retired after 40 years in medicine as a diagnostician and as a corporate trainer and a director of clinical services. So I like to let people know that before I go into the woo, because I have this very logical, I've got patents in my name for ultrasound systems design. So I'm very, very analytical, logical. That's my, you know, one part of my brain. However, Hewlett-Packard hired me 30 years ago, transported me up to New England to be the clinical subject matter expert on the design team for developing ultrasound systems. Wow. And I moved into a house with a ghost. And that changed my whole life. So this was no ordinary ghost. This was the ghost of a beautiful woman who had been brutally abused by her husband, and she shot herself in the head in my basement. Her name was Judy, and I could relate to Judy because I come from horrific abuse. So that's part of why I moved into that house. I connected with her at some level, but my daughter, who was around 7 at the time, could see her. She would come and sing to her at night, and I met this woman, divine connections. I love the divine synchronicities. I ended up meeting a neighbor who would become my spiritual mentor. And she brought a priest over to bless the house. And they're saying, yes, this sounds like Judy. Judy was the man I was renting from. This was his former wife. And so she had a daughter who was my daughter's age. So she was mistaking my daughter is hers, and she would come and sing to her, so she didn't mean any harm. So this was my first introduction to true spirits. So Agnes and Abba got up to leave after I had invited them over. I said, aren't you going to sprinkle holy water or do something? They said, no, we've been given guidance that you need to learn how to do this. I'm saying, me? What? I've divorced. I've probably been excommunicated. What do I know about this stuff? But I'm really good at following instruction. So they told me what to do. And that night I sat down outside of my daughter's room and I lit a candle. And I had an imaginary conversation with Judy. And I said, Judy, this is my daughter. Your daughter has grown and she's fine. I'm going to be here for my daughter. It's time for you to go into the light. So I got some of those chills. I call them God bumps now.
I like that.
And blew out the candle, went to bed. A couple days later, I said to my daughter, so does the lady still come and sing to you at night? She said, no, but there's a little boy. And then there was a soldier. And then there was a Native American. So she would see them and I would have these imaginary conversations. I had no idea what I was doing. I went on to learn from Agnes, Reiki. I became a Reiki master. I studied A Course in Miracles with her for 20 years. I also became a hypnotist that took me down the path of spiritual-based hypnosis. So that's my background. And I did hypnosis on the side for many years in my corporate career. And then when I left about 10 years ago, I left my corporate job and I hired a coach. And he said, don't tell anybody about the weird spirit stuff you do. So I only marketed weight, smoking, stress, right? And clients would come and they'd say, no, I've never told anybody this, but I have this spirit that's in my house, or I have this thing that comes over me. So 90% of my clients, I'm doing spirit release work. And so I've been dealing with the spirit realm for over 30 years now. And back, way back, even before I moved here, I had a priest that taught me how to do the protection, because my husband at the time, I now recognize that my first husband was dabbling in sorcery. So I had to learn how to protect myself and my children from the stuff he could send. How spiritual power is very real, whether it's positive or negative. Even though we can't see it, we can't see electricity, but I'm not going to stick my finger or a fork in that socket. We have to recognize that people who know how to deal with the shadow have incredible powers to control energy. We, as praying people, also have incredible powers to control by way of sending positive energy and staying in that positive vibe. So I've had quite the journey of dealing with the shadow. And so that's kind of the backstory. And then when I left my corporate job and I hired this coach and I started really passionate about doing my hypnosis work, I had this gentleman who came to see me who was a senior scientist and was having difficulty sleeping. It's something we help with all the time. And he goes into trance. Now, Sky, you've done some trance work with me. When you go into trance, you are the one that's talking to your guides or your grandmother or whoever is on the other side. I'm the guide, the scribe, and the protector. I'm going to keep you safe on your journey. He goes into trance, opens his eyes, looks me square in the face, and says, "We need your help to save humanity. Humanity is facing the next great apocalypse. If they don't change their ways, there may not be much time left." So he comes out of trance. I said, "What did you think of that?" He said, "It was very relaxing."
He didn't remember anything.
It was a complete trance channel. Wow. So I brought in my consultant at the time. I've long worked with consultants who keep their energy pure so they can see what other people can't. And Peter was my consultant at the time. And he could tell that there was pure light coming through Gary. That in Gary's energy would step aside, and this light came through, and we ended up doing 20 something sessions that created the Chronicles of Hope. Wow. So that's what that was the foundation, the backstory with the Chronicles of Hope. So I was the scribe, the interviewer of these amazing beings that would come through Gary. He was completely unaware of who he was until this happenstance. You know, circumstances, serendipity, synchronicity, when you tap in and when you just say, yes, look out, look out what might happen. So he is the one that kind of got me started. That was in 2016. So 7 years ago is when that journey started, where I had to come out of the closet as a spirit communicator.
Beautiful story. Beautiful story. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, so that led you on your path to what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
And your
spiritual
warrior.
Well, I've been doing a lot of the, you know, clearing the spirits and all of that. But this led me, the amazing messages that came through Gary to me charged me with bringing the message to the world. I live by the messages, which is amazing. Talk about ascension. Talk about living your life, getting rid of hate, anger, all of that. But messages weren't for me. They were for humanity. So I became the messenger. They are not my messages. I work with them. I use them. I can attest to how they work, how important it is to keep your energy clear and pure, because they said that. They gave us the tools in order to ascend. However, my message, my mission is to bring their messages to humanity.
Wonderful. And you're doing an amazing job of it.
Thank you.
Amazing.
It's been quite the journey.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Well, I mean, it is what it is, but everything is so interconnected. You know, there are no mistakes. There are no coincidences. It's all designed, you know, creator designed everything. So everything that is happening to us is all purpose, is a purpose to it, I guess is what I want to say. Does that make any sense?
Exactly. And you know, even like the glitch in that when we first started, there was the old me that might have gotten angry or agitated at it. And now what did you and I, we just laughed. Yeah. Just laughed.
I'm still laughing. There's a reason.
We're supposed to do the sacred space. We're supposed to share that on your show. So when we are working with spirit and we know that we're not here alone, life becomes a magical journey. Even though we go through hardship or confusing times, if we can look at it as, okay, what is the lesson in here? What is the nugget? What do I need to learn or take away from this situation?
Right.
Then it allows us to ascend on our path. Does that make sense?
It does. And do you think that becoming detached from the outcome, you know, if you're in a situation and you feel like, you know, you're getting stressed or anxious about something, it's usually because you want a certain outcome on something. And if that doesn't happen, you're always going to be disappointed. So I don't know, for me, I think becoming detached from that, whatever it is, helps to facilitate that change faster. Do you think the same thing?
Yes, I agree. And I feel like a couple of years ago, I wrote a blog about letting go of expectation, because we have this expectancy that something good is going to happen. And it is good to have an expectancy that something good is going to happen, but just make it as broad as that. Not this is the exact outcome. As a coach, one of the things that we do is you visualize, you know, the end in mind, and you can visualize exactly what you want to have happen. You can see yourself in a future image, a future situation. But the key is to let go of how to get there.
Right.
Let spirit guide you. And the path can be kind of meandering. Let spirit guide you with how I know that my message is going to get out there in some form or fashion, but I don't know exactly how. I don't know who. I'm just trusting that.
That's a good one.
As I'm working with spirit, it becomes a magical journey. And it's never boring, never dull, and it is always, always a learning.
Yeah, that's great, great tips for people. Thank you. Tell me, you're training people to join your team right now.
Yes.
And I have personally had sessions with you and your core team, but also with your interns. And boy, what just incredible experiences and the things that happen afterwards. I mean, my listeners understand, they know that I'm, you know, can be classified as batshit crazy from the normies, you know. I talk about
we
all
love
this
that.
Stuff, so
we love that.
We're all good with anything we talk about here. But so let's talk about the nefarious beings that you clear, and you've done a lot of work on me and helped me immensely to be able to reconnect, I guess. Not that I ever lost that connection, but I think over the years, and particularly the past since 2019, I had a couple of abductions that were pretty intense and traumatic, and I think when things, after I got back from my Scotland trip, that's when things stopped for me. That's when I stopped being able to kind of, and it was a slow, gradual process. They didn't like immediately shut things off, because I don't think they wanted to, you know, trigger me, if that makes any sense. But there were some things in the last session that your team took care of that was like, whoa, pretty cool and pretty intense. Are you able to share any of that with the audience?
I would love to, because that's part of how my life is, again, just say yes, and you never know what's going to show up. So I've been dealing with reptilians for years. I didn't know exactly what they were, just that they were big lizard looking nasty beings, but they were very organized. So I would speak to the commander and have the commander command all of everyone in his command. into the light. I would encounter them around clients. What happened is about 3 years ago, all of a sudden clients could no longer see their auras. The way that I work is you go into trance. I take you on a simple journey. You look into a mirror and you can see your aura. All of a sudden, nobody could see their auras anymore. It was very strange. Wonder what happened about that time.
Yeah.
And so I was working with a group of consultants. And as we were working together, we could see other people's auras. All of a sudden, we started noticing that the auras were orange. Why are the auras all orange and mucky and thick and dense? And there's metallic stuff in the auras. And Mother Gaia at one point said, that does not belong in your organic human bodies. So and we're like, oh, glitter, isn't this pretty? So we were given insight as to how to clear the gunk from the aura. The shedding is very real. Even if you haven't had this, if you're around other people, which we all are at the grocery store, we can pick it up because, again, we're energetic beings. And so we're like magnetic energy. We can draw into us some of this graphene oxide that's out there. It's in the chemtrails. It's in the food, the water, in so many ways. And it blocks us from being able to connect with divine. So in the process of clearing this, I came out publicly talking about what we were finding with the auras and how it was preventing people from seeing, from connecting. And I met this amazing gentleman by the name of Nick Sylvester, who threw a gauntlet down on me and said, you know, many people have been abducted over the years. Thousands of people have been abducted, but their minds are wiped. They don't know what happened to them. Could you figure out what happened? I'm like, sure, give me a challenge and I'm good at asking questions. That's one thing I'm really good at. So we started investigating. So instead of just when I would encounter a reptilian, instead of just wrapping him up and sending him away, we were working as a team with my amazing consultants who are psychic mediums, that they've trained themselves to be able to see your auras. So we started doing all of our client sessions as a team and the initial sessions in order to clear the aura and then find out if there are any implants. And lo and behold, 90%, oh, probably 95% of our clients. Now, is it just because that's who comes to us? But they've had implants put in them that block the energy. Now, these nefarious ones, their intent was not to kill. Their intent was to lower the vibrational frequency because they feed off of fear. They could target the brightest lights among us. When we are born, they could see the energy in a baby that they could target, identify at a very young age that this is a star seed that's signed up to make a difference. So two things, they were designed to do two things. One is to lower the vibrational frequency so you could not connect with your divine family, to block the ability to make those connections. And two, when they lower your vibrational frequency down into the realm, the range of fear and anger, that's their food. Right. They feed off of fear and anger. What we discovered is the energy of love and light and joy. That is their kryptonite. They can't handle that bright light energy. So they were using, the reptilians were using the tall grays as the supervisors, and the small grays, whose vibrational frequency was more matched to ours, they were the ones working on doing these implants and working with monitoring the implants. So there was a huge process that's been going on probably at least 50 or more years. And it started really with the Nazis.
Yeah.
And so we've gotten so much information. We've uncovered probably 30 different types of devices designed to do different things. Like one device is designed to make everybody hate you. Here is this beautiful light being that just exudes love. They walk in a room and people are repelled by them. It's because of a coil or a beacon or a device that's put in them. Other devices create physical pain and disturbance. So we've been, once we uncover the device, we've been deactivating. And I say we, I work with a team, a celestial team. I am just, again, the questioner. I am the navigator, I call myself. So we work with these, we rescued some of the small grays who were terrified of the reptilians. And once we started removing the reptilians and rescuing the small grays and giving them an opportunity to reverse the damage from these devices, many of them were very willing to assist because they were tortured into doing what they're doing. But they would become very much connected with their human subject. So the small grays, many people have imaginary friends. Oftentimes it was a small gray that was there to monitor the beautiful light worker, and they were forced to turn up the current, to reactivate, to add more devices. And many of them actually killed themselves rather than to create more harm to their human. They were that truly compassionate and heart-centered. So it's been an interesting journey into this netherworld, into the great unseen. So we've been developing techniques to work with our divine and our extraterrestrial and our interterrestrial, the dragons. We rescued dragons and now they work with us. It's amazing. You know, I often say with my interns, I'll tell them it's kind of like Lord of the Rings meets Star Wars. You know, we're working with the inner earth beings and the extraterrestrials. They're very real. Those movies, those books are more like documentaries based on what we have uncovered and then science fiction. So we've been clearing and we've also uncovered a lot of sorcery. That's the earth energy, the sorcery. And that was one of the things that we have found. The sorcerers will send cloaks. So there might not be an implant in you anymore, but they will send cloaks that will keep you from connecting with your divine. And I think that might have been one of the things that we found with you, Sky. I don't remember particulars about your, you know, individuals' sessions, but there have been so many devices and so many typical patterns. Cloaks are one that even some beautiful truthers, if they get into ego, if they get into power and drama, their words can send cloaks and drama to other people, which is not what we're about. We need to be working collaboratively and connecting with one another and avoid the whole concept of one is better than the other.
Yeah. That ego is a nasty thing when it grabs a hold of us. And I think that, you know, probably most of those truthers don't intentionally send cloaks to people, but you're right. Our words have power. Our thoughts are powerful. And I think personally, we're so close right now to moving into that next level that our power is growing greater and greater and greater. And as we speak and as we think, those things are being manifest so quickly now. I mean, I remember years ago, it was like it would take a month to manifest something or longer, you know, and then and sometimes years. And now it's like instantly you think about something and there it is, or you speak it and all of a sudden it's there. It's almost like we're creating it and it's in the palm of our hand. So I think it's very, a very dangerous time right now for people to come from ego. And we need to,
exactly,
we need to dissolve the ego and put it in check. I mean, like you said, we're all working together. And the other thing that kind of bothers me sometimes is some of these truthers who talk about our ascension into the fifth dimension, they talk about, oh yeah, the rest of the people that I don't know, they call them the normies, they're not awake yet, whatever. Oh, they'll never get it and they're not going with us. They're gonna stay here in time and everything's gonna be split in two. I personally don't believe that. I believe that where we go one, we go all. There's a reason for that. You know, Trump put that out there. I think there's a reason for that we are all connected in a way deeper than anyone can understand. And we cannot ascend separately or in two different divisions. We're all going together. And my belief is that when that moment happens and the rest of the humanity wakes up, I think there are what they call NPCs out there who are, you know, soulless beings, you know, walking around trying to distract us from our, and I don't know if that's maybe part of the, I don't know if you've encountered any of that, but I think those people, I don't even want to call them people because they're not real. They're part of the matrix. They're not going with us, but all of humanity who has a soul is evolving, and we're all evolving together. No matter what level you are at right now, we will all be on that level. That's my belief. What are your thoughts on that?
Actually, you make a very good point. One of the things when I'm in talking with the Onquietus and the others in the Chronicles, their comment, they were very concerned about young souls, that they're trying to dissuade young souls from coming to planet Earth right now, because this is a pivotal time. So people like you and I that have been battling this stuff for our lifetimes, we're old souls. We know that. But a lot of these people who are in the matrix don't get it. They're young souls. They're like, you're dealing with like a kindergartner. Now, would you just say, I'm not going to take the kindergartners? No, you're exactly right. As we grow, our job is to teach. Our job is to help the young ones to ascend. And we don't do that by forcing. We do that by example. And so the others will follow. They will get it. They're people who are waking up. I have a friend that that was completely unaware of anything until a couple years ago. And now she's like, boom. Once they wake up, they can ascend very, very, very accelerated quickly. At an accelerated pace. So that's not for us to judge.
Right.
So I agree with you that there are people who are not awake, but give them time. They're younger souls, or they have just been so programmed.
Right.
And being a hypnotist, I recognize how programming is so powerful, because what I do as a hypnotist is unprogram, help people to unprogram their programs.
Right.
The NPCs, I consider that those are the ones that have allied with the shadow. They're in it for a different reason. And so those are the ones that are doing things from an ego perspective for personal gain.
Yeah.
So I had an amazing session 30 years ago that I just came across a couple of months ago. And it was a channeled session through another amazing man who from the I Am. And one of the things that he said about ego is not, it's not evil. A Course in Miracles would have you say, believe that ego is evil. What he said is, ego is not evil. Ego is what sets your boundaries. Right. Ego is who defines you. Ego is what you can speak to from your heart. It's when you let ego control,
right,
is when it gets bad. So it's an out of check ego that's about power and drama and control and look at me. That is the ego that can be very much tempted by the shadow side. And that's where I've seen so many people get caught up unwittingly, good-hearted people that get into the power, and then they get taken down this path. So the challenge with that is we can't judge them either. We can say, using discernment, not right now. That person is going through their journey. It's not for me to decide about their journey. It is for me to say, I need to distance myself from this person right now, because what they're doing is not good for me. It's not good for my highest good. I can send them love. I can send them light, but I can keep my distance from what they're going through. So it's an interesting path of discernment, even among other people who are going through the different pieces of their life. There have been many times that, one memory comes to mind. When I was working with Peter, we were dealing with a spirit that was a pedophile. And Peter wanted to punch him out. And Archangel Michael stepped up and said, no, you are never to judge because you don't know what happened.
Right.
How was he affected? Who did what to him? That we don't know the soul's true story or the soul's true journey. And many of the dragons that we've rescued were doing some pretty onerous things, but they had been captured as you know, their eggs had been captured and raised by sorcerers to do bad things. Once they were given a chance to change, they turn into these magnificent healing dragons. So we can't judge another. That's not our role. The archangels have said, no, you, the only soul you've got to be responsible for is your own.
Right.
You've got
right.
to pay attention to your own soul, what choices you're making in by way of the people who you surround yourself with, by the food you eat, the water you drink, the thoughts you think. Like you're saying, we are master manifestors. And if we're thinking negative thoughts, we're sending negative vibration. It's very real. We've got to check that. I oftentimes find, you mentioned a little bit ago, when we get into that mire, that I've picked something up. I've picked up, my husband and I are really into the Daughters and the Sons of the American Revolution. So we're at a lot of graveyards. We do a lot of grave marking and ceremonial celebration of soldiers that have passed from so many years. So at the graveyards, if I'm not really vigilant, I might pick up a spirit because the spirits are looking for the light. The lost
right.
souls are simply looking for the light. And if you're glowing brightly, they're like, oh, the light. And then you end up with a hitchhiker and you're feeling their emotions, their feelings. So if I find that I'm grumpy, which is not my norm, I'm like, wait a second, something's off. So I just do a clearing, or I ask Archangel Michael to clear me, or my team, we clear each other. So if something comes over you, it could be a spirit of oftentimes a family member who's still lurking around. I call them Klingons. most of the spirits are not nefarious. There are,
right.
they're just lost souls, and we just help them like helping a child lost in a store. You don't sage and banish and yell. No, it's like, how can we help you, little one? Let's help you get to a safe place. It's different than this really harsh exorcism kind of thing. That said, when I'm dealing with the reptilian, I can get powerful. I can get in my my badass persona. Don't mess with the humans, you know. So, but this is what people don't realize. There's a whole other realm, many realms out there that they're not aware of.
Right.
And they need.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And we're all going together. I'm sorry. that's I'm laying down the law. We're going together.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, we're energetic beings. We're frequency.
Yes.
And as our vibration raises, we're raising the consciousness of humanity, and we can't go without the rest of them. And it's like the ripple in the pond or the ocean or whatever you want to call it. You know, our vibration goes out there, and it will eventually affect those who are not awake yet, and they will awaken. And like you said, we have to nurture that. We can't just cast them off like they don't exist or they don't mean anything, because they're here for a purpose as well. Yeah. And those I don't know what to say anymore about that.
And this is part of one of the things that my team decided several years ago. We started doing group journeys to clear the planet, because we were finding that we needed to clear the individuals. Well, that was great. And yet we needed, you know, wonder, could we do more? What could we do more? So we started, and there was a period of time where we were meeting a couple times a week for probably over a year.
Wow.
And doing group journeys to clear the energy, to lift the lost souls, especially the children that have been abused and lost, and or animals. The animals have souls and spirits too. How many of you have a cat that, you know, is seeing something? They know. They're very wise. Dogs too.
Yeah.
So we've been doing a lot of work as a team to lift this the the lost souls of the planet, and to bring in the light, to bring in the beautiful angelic realms, and the keepers of the light.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Is there any advice you can give for people who, like you mentioned, animals being able to see, because they do, they see my dogs, see them, and now we have two cats too, so this is interesting. But
And my little familiar, every time I sit down to do a session, she comes right here. She's right here. It is so amazing how she just knows. She's
they
got, she's,
do.
And if it's a disturbing situation, she'll reach her paw out. Honest engine. This is incredible. The
Yeah.
advice that I would give people is to learn to pray again. We've thrown religion out, and I totally agree. Even in the Chronicles, we were a little bit controversial about some of the religious practices were, again, about ego. But the foundation of prayer, of sending positive intention, is really important. So learn to pray with discernment, call a being from the light. You've got to really feel them, get to know your individuals. And that's one of the beautiful things that we do with our client sessions. Now, once we clear them of spirits, of gunk in their aura, of devices, of familial energies, then we help them to connect with their Pleiadian, Arcturian, angelic realms, and get their messages. And it is glorious to watch them start to really shine in their abilities. So it's about learning to remove the cloaks, remove whatever's blocking, and staying in that positive vibe. Doing the sacred space regularly. We do it every morning. I do it before I get out of bed. I do it before every session. I do it at night as I drift off to sleep. Several of the new grads have recorded and are putting it out there, their own version. Everybody has their own version, which is fabulous. And you take this and make it your own. It has morphed over the years by adding the Faraday cage. Once we started recognizing the remote viewers that were messing with us, there's a difference in checking in on someone with the intention of helping versus checking in on someone with the intention of harm.
Right.
It's all about intention. Intention is critical. So learning about your sacred space, if you sign up for my newsletter, loisherman.com, you get versions of the sacred space that you can listen to so that you can adopt your own. The other thing is we've opened up a journey. We're opening it to the public. Our team will be doing the journey, but we've invited people to join us. Some people will be in with us. Others will be observing because we have to vet carefully. This is part of the discernment process. Those like you, Sky, that have been through the clearing process, we will probably invite you to join us in the actual journey. Others we will keep at a separate level of protection. Just because we don't know who's got what kind of energy around them.
Right.
But we're
going to
be doing this as it's a pre-solstice event. So it's on the 18th, Monday, the 18th, 7 o'clock Eastern. Please, it's free. We want others. We want to teach others. We want to share with others about what you can do to lift the energy, because it's going to take all hands on deck.
It is.
Everybody's doing what they can.
It is, yes. And how would someone sign up for your pre-solstice event there?
Sure. It's on the, I'm sending out newsletters. It's when you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get an individual email invitation. But you can just go to the loisherman.com website, and Herman has two N's, and go to the events page right there. You'll find it.
Excellent. And I will put all that in the notes too.
So yeah, thank you.
So listeners can get that. I'm going to go back to the Faraday cage. I took your, over a year ago, I took your clearing and your, not your clearing, but your sacred space setting. And I kind of modified it to my own as well. So I've
Perfect.
Been picking up little, cause I do that too. I kind of add this and that and put my other stuff, own stuff into it. So when you added the Faraday cage a couple of weeks ago, when you worked on me, I think that was very powerful. That I just want to tell listeners that's amazing, because we are dealing with so many frequencies on so many different levels. We can't comprehend what they are doing to us, you know, whether it's our lovely U.S. government or, you know, the CIA, the FBI, whatever they are, they're bombarding us with frequencies. And those, you know, reptilians. And now I hear, that just brings up another thing. I've heard other people, other truthers talk about these reptilians and saying, oh, they've all been banished from the planet. They're no longer here. I don't believe that because I am still encountering a lot of that stuff. So be aware that, you know, and I think these people are truly coming from their heart when they say these things. Maybe that's what they've done. But it's so important to continue to do your sacred space, especially when you go to bed at night. You talked about that when you're going to bed at night, because when you drop into that sleep state, your spiritual body is on the astral planes in many different levels, and you're working, you're doing your spiritual work, whether you are consciously aware of it or not. So not only do you have to protect your physical body that's still there in bed, but you also have to make sure that your spiritual body and your soul is protected and, you know, supercharged. So, yeah, thank you.
And two things to that point. One is we've been grounded. We've been told no astral travel right now. There's too thank many you. Things, excuse me, in the astral plane. So when we do our sacred space at night, we ask to keep us safe, protected in our bodies, because we're finding when people are astral traveling, that's when they're getting implants or different devices thrown at them.
Yep.
Because they're not protected.
Yep.
That's one. The other, I'd like to address this attitude about the reptilians are all gone. They're definitely fewer of them. We've been, my own team has been sending them by the thousands for several years. Other people are doing as well. We still find the rogue ones, though. We find the ones that didn't go with the masses that left. So they're still around. There are a lot of hybrids out there that are operating without any control. But we, just last week, there were three different clients had some sort of a reptilian hybrid or something around them. Now, when we ask, who is your commander? I don't know. They've not been around for a while. Right. So the command structure is gone. But what you're dealing with are rogue ones that are still, they're looking for food. So they're still creating chaos to the individuals. But the other thing that we're finding more than reptilians now are the sorcerers. The people, and this is what's in our media. Don't even watch the halftime show, guys. This stuff is all conjuring evil energy, and the evil conjured energy is very real. So they are conjuring the energy and sending that energy and using it for their own personal gain. That is what we're finding more than ever, is be it past souls, ancient sorcerers, or modern still living people who are using conjured energy for their own personal gain. Yeah. That's very real.
It is real. You did remove one of the reptilians from me a couple of weeks ago when you worked on me. So that was one of them. But yes, mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I know personally that there are many, many physical human beings out there that are these sorcerers and using that dark magic. And that's something that is very, like you said, it's very real and it's out there. And, you know, that's just on the physical level. I can't even imagine what's going on in the etheric realms right now with that.
And those are the ones that are going to have to be aware of their comeuppance.
Right.
If they're using the dark, if you're doing anything to deliberately harm humanity, you are the one that's going to have to face what you have done. You will be held accountable for your actions, whether it's good or bad. So if you're dabbling in that sorcery realm, you are going to have to atone for that. That's not my judgment. It's not me. That is just that's the rules, the laws of the universe.
Yeah.
And I think the other, you asked a minute ago, what would be my biggest request or my biggest message would be to ask. Our amazing angels cannot interfere. This is still a free will planet. And we are not operating like I talk about. I do this. It's not me. It's we. We have a team, but the team is in the etheric world and the physical world. So I've learned to ask my archangels for everything. And there are no, ask for a parking place,
Yes.
ask for healing, ask for protection, ask for having a blessed day, setting the intention, asking the angels to be with you through the day. There's no harm in asking. That it's the ego that we have been trained that we're not good enough to ask. And they're like, it's kind of like a parent sitting back going, I wish they would just ask me.
Right.
And so we have to learn to ask and give gratitude, because that's what they feed off of, is the energy of gratitude. So
Right.
asking with gratitude is key in order to keep your vibrational energy ascending.
Yes. And a lot of people I know that don't have a strong connection to a cosmic family or many spiritual beings. Like, I mean, I work a lot with dragons. I've worked with dragons my whole life. Oh, which I forgot to tell you. I have a new dragon since that session.
Really?
Yeah, I think, was it Christine? Was that her name? Yeah, am I allowed to say that on?
Sure, yeah.
So yeah, she said that she saw a pink. It was kind of pinkish, light pink, white, whatever, which I'm not sure. I think that was one that's been with me, but
Okay.
this new one that's joined the masses, and I have a lot of them around me, is actually a purple dragon. She's purple, which is very cool. It's like, oh, who are you?
I
Where'd
want
you
to
come
show
from?
you this that was just given to me as a gift. This is the cutest thing.
Oh my gosh, it's a
Such a fat
Chinese
little
dragon. It's
dragon.
beautiful.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I've called him, this is Freundlich, which is friendly in German. Isn't that
Nice.
the cutest little
That's
thing? So I
beautiful.
have him right here on my microphone. So he reminds me he's protecting me.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, oh, another interesting thing we talk about when we first started, we had to do a take two because we had technological difficulties. So
Yes.
yesterday, I was having a conversation with someone and I mentioned something about doing some spiritual, how did I put it? I said, do you want to learn how to I can't even remember what I said, but
Spiritual
I said,
hygiene, I often call it
no,
spiritual hygiene.
it was like being a warrior, tap into your spiritual
Okay.
warrior. And I sensed that there was some nefarious energy going on with this person, right? And I had one of my little dragon statues sitting on my desk here with my computer, and I went to move my computer, which was literally like this far away from my little dragon statue. But my dragon statue got knocked over somehow and its head broke off. I'm like, that isn't even possible. And the interesting thing to it was like, okay, well, now I know that you don't like my dragons, so I guess we're gonna have some clearing, major clearing going on here. So yeah, that's something I had to work on yesterday. But anyway, where was I going with that? I totally lost my train of thought on what else we were talking about. I don't know.
You will glue your dragon head back
I
on,
already
won't you?
have. I have. It was my
Oh,
mission yesterday to do
good.
that, and he's fixed, and
Yeah.
he's loving life. But it was funny because the dragon that he represents is the most powerful fire dragon that I work with, or that works with me, I should say. I'm his pet.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
his charge, I should say.
That's right. That's one of the things that I've learned about the dragons. Just like we take care of our pets, when a dragon attracts to a human, they take care of the human because
Yeah.
they're so much more advanced than we are.
Yeah, they are incredibly ancient. I mean, from the dawn of time and the dawn, the creation of the universe. That's what I feel this energy is from, just this ancient energy, and they're here to help right now cleanse and just I they're giving me this visual right now of just like ripping out roots of nefarious evil things, baddies as you want to call them, just like tearing them up, like, yeah, let's go, we got this.
They do. Archangel Michael had instructed the dragons, you're not to kill, but you can singe tushes.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's funny because this particular dragon, he wants to be able to just, you know, transmute that energy, completely transmute it. And whether it's a fireball he's throwing at it,